Some of our mothers not here because they're in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. They ain't concerned about Mother's Day. They waiting for us to get there, amen, so we can celebrate together. But you know what? Mama, you still here? And there are times in your heart that your heart is grieved because maybe you have children that don't know the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. No matter what, you continue to go to the throne of grace. You cry out for mercy, and you ask God to save your children and your house. And you just wait and see him work his work in you. Amen. For the day, please. And you know, Mama, you may be cooking or just watching TV, and the phone will ring. You go pick it up. And on the other end, a precious voice, a loving voice, will finally say unto you at that day and time, "Hello, Mama. Now I just called to tell you that all those tears that you shed for me, oh, they were not in vain." Something happened. The night while traveling down that lonely road, I thought that you to be the first to know. Oh, that I'm not the same. But all those dreary days, they're over now. Those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed so long, they answer now and let. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Now, Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Before you go to sleep, Mama, I hear you ask the Lord for my soul to keep, oh, that I might find no way. Oh, I'm so thankful that through all my loneliness and all those wasted years, Mama, your word, oh, they kept ringing in my ear every night and day. Oh, those dreary days, they're over now, and those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you, Mama, you prayed so long, they're answered now and then. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Oh, now, Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Let me tell you, Mama, I'm all right. Oh, 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 I'm not the boy, Mama, that I used to be. And you can sleep tonight, for I found, now, Mama, I found Jesus.
Right, that's wonderful. Now, to cap off our specials this morning, we have a resident pianist here who is going to come and play for us at this time. Mother's Day gift, Betsy. Yes. All right. Now then, we come to the exciting part of our service today. You saw me bring these boxes out here. I always save this until last because I didn't want to hear the rustling of paper and the chewing of candy and all such as that during our service. So I want to ask you to just sit on it, okay, till the service is over. But as our custom is, we've been doing this for years. We have some candy up here. This is what we do here. Other churches may give flowers. We give candy. We give candy to special people. One of them goes to the oldest mother present in our congregation. The other one goes to the youngest mother present in our congregation. And then we have one reserved for the mother with the most children present in the service today. Okay? With the most children present. Now that's only three. But we have four because quite often we'll have a tie. And if we have a tie, then we have a gift for the tire. I'm not going to tell you what happens to the one that if we don't give away that fourth one. But anyway, Brother David, would you come up here and do us the honor and take... know who the oldest mother is since Dorothy died. Dorothy was 90, how old? 99? 100. All right. This is for the oldest mother present today. All right. Do we have a 90-year-old mother in the congregation? Do we have an 85-year-old mother in the congregation? There you go. All right.
Amen.
86. All right. Now, this one is for the youngest mother present. Do we have a teenage mother here besides Gloria? Do we have a 20-year-old mother here? No 20s? How about a 21? What's that hand going up for over there?
She's way up there. She's 27.
27? 20? I like that little boy that made you a mother. That little James is a sweetheart. You share this with him. Is this the youngest mother we have, Monica? Huh? If my grandmother were alive in here, she would win this box of candy because she had 20, there were 24 children in my grandpa and grandma's family. Not all hers.
No. There were three. Took three to get up that many.
What shall we start at, Brother David?
Three.
How about four? Does anyone here have four children present? You got six. You got six. All right. Does anybody have more than six?
Can we see the six?
All right. Amen. Year, so guess what? do we have Paula? Listen, shut up and listen. Do we have a mother here who's going to have a daughter graduating from college? How about that? That's my baby. She's got a daughter graduating from college already. Ooh. Anyway. Do we have any more preliminaries? If we don't, drag out your Bible. Drag out your Bible, and let's open it to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Verse 10. Now we're going to be preaching from this scripture. We'll be getting back to it pretty soon.
But I want you to have this kind of nesting in the back of your mind so you can know that eventually we're going to get back to our text. 2 Samuel 21, verse 10. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. Isn't that a wonderful Mother's Day text? We'll tie it into mothers in a little while, if you will listen to me. Let me remind you, though, that God's method of propagating the human race is through motherhood. Shortly after God created man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He was formed and fashioned in the likeness of God and in God's very image. Shortly after that, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Now, he'd created all the animals, male and female. Created he them. But now he's got one man. He's king of the world. He's the only one. God put him in charge of everything, gave him dominion over everything he'd created. Over the fish, the fowls, the animals, everything. But God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And while Adam was asleep, he took a rib from his side. And he fashioned a woman from Adam's rib. And when Adam woke up, came out from under the ether or whatever it was that God had him under, there was Eve. And he gave them a commandment. If you'll remember it, be fruitful and multiply. And babies began to be born. I believe that when Eve became a mother, that a new attribute was added to the human race, and that's love. Even though the word love does not appear in the scripture for 2,148 years, I believe it was there in the Garden of Eden when Eve held little Cain in her arms. One of the most appropriate words that we can associate with motherhood is love. I believe a mother's love is the nearest thing in this world to God's love. And that even extends to the animal kingdom, because you have many animal mothers that are very caring and protective of their offspring, don't we? I know this morning that mothers are not perfect. And everyone's experience with their mother is not the same. I realize that there are and have been unsaved mothers who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear of mothers who are mean and cruel to their children. We hear of babies being killed in the mother's womb. We hear of other babies being born with physical afflictions and infirmities, even mental disabilities, because of a mother's selfish use of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and such as this during the time of her pregnancy that affect her children. But by and large, we're speaking of mothers today. And there's a special place in each and every heart for that woman that we call mother. There are many illustrations of godly mothers in the scriptures. First of all, I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, our blessed Savior. She was a single girl, a virgin, if you please, willing to be used of God as the vessel through which God would be made flesh and enter into this world to dwell among us. Perhaps one of the most blessed things that can be said about Mary is found in John chapter 19, verse 25. In that place called Calvary, as she looks up at the body of her son in his early 30s, being crucified on that cross, the Bible says that there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. I don't know about you, but it plucks a string in here in my heart to know that his mother was there with him. Then Jesus committed her into the care of his apostle John, who took her into his home, and she stayed with him while he was pastoring at Ephesus for many years before she finally died there at Ephesus. Then our mind goes back to Eve. We mentioned her earlier, the first mother. And we remember how her heart must have been grieved as the sin of murder reached out of Cain and took her son Abel into the clutches of death, the result of her transgression in the Garden of Eden when she took of the forbidden fruit, when she was tempted of Satan. Death came into the world. And then, after Cain had killed Abel, Abel fled away and went into another place. She was deprived of both her sons. We remember the bitterness of Hannah's soul as she prayed for a child in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Here's her prayer. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and remember me. That's what the thief on the cross said to Jesus. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Hannah says, remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. I want a little boy, a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. God heard her prayer and answered it. A little boy was named Samuel. He became a great prophet of the Lord and a judge in Israel. But there's another mother. We're getting back to my text now that I would like to call to your attention. And that's Rizpah. R-I-Z-P-A-H, who is mentioned here in our text. She had been a concubine to King Saul. She bore him at least two sons. We don't even know their names. But in the context of this, later on, when David was king over Israel, there was a famine that came in the land. Lasted for 3 years. Drought. No rain. No crops. David prayed and he asked God, why? And God answered his prayer and said, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. Now, who in the world were the Gibeonites? Well, this goes back to Joshua chapter 9. Read about it sometime. I'll not take the time today. They were not of the children of Israel. They were descendants of the Ammonites, or the Amorites rather, the children of Israel, had entered into a covenant of peace, a contract with them, and had sealed it with an oath. And King Saul had broken that covenant and sought to slay them. And now a famine has come to Israel because of King Saul's actions. David called the Gibeonites to him. And he said to them, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make an atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And they answered him, we will have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. Well, that threw David off guard. And he made a statement to them in which he committed himself. He said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. The oath of a king. Whatever you say, that I will do. And then they said, let 7 men of Saul's sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah. David, true to his oath, said, I will give them. So he delivered the 7 sons of Saul into the hands of these cruel Gibeonites. 2 of those 7 were the sons of Rizpah. The Gibeonites took them out to the hill, to a prominent place. They erected 7 crosses and they crucified the 7 sons of Saul on those 7 crosses. Now Gibeah, if you look it up on a map, you'll find that Gibeah is on the east side of that north-south highway. It's about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. There these boys were crucified. They were put to death, the Bible tells us, in the first days of the barley harvest. That would have been in May. We're in May now. And when the day ended, all 7 of those boys were dead and their bodies were hanging on those crosses. The bloodlust of the Gibeonites was satisfied, so they departed. As the evening sun began to set and twilight came, that little mother, Rizpah, climbed the hill of Gibeah. She was doing like any American mother would do. She went to the bodies of her sons. She kissed their feet. She wept. She mourned. She sorrowed with a broken heart. The law of the land at that time said that the bodies could not be removed from the crosses. They had to hang there and hang there and hang there until they were nothing but skeletons and their bones fell off the cruel tree. Darkness came. Rizpah spread her sackcloth on a rock, prepared to rest. Just as she's dozing off, she hears the snarls of beasts, wild beasts, that have been drawn there by the smell of the fresh blood of these boys. Rizpah did not panic and run away. Rather, she grabbed a fire stick and she fought them off all night long. Dawn finally came and the animals left, went back to their lair. Rizpah finally laid down, tired, weary, exhausted, both physically and emotionally. She's laying there on her sackcloth, blanket, on this rock. And just as she's dozing off, a shadow falls across her face. And she opens her eyes and looks up into the sky, and she sees the air is filled with vultures. Buzzards are coming. They too have been drawn by the dead bodies of these boys. They plan to do what the wild animals were not allowed to do the night before. Once more, she gets up and she takes her blanket and she goes out and flaps that blanket and scares the birds away. This goes on all day long. Listen to what the Bible says here. From the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. The barley harvest was in May. The first rains came in September. That's 5 months. 5 months this mother stayed out there with the bodies of those boys on the cross. Finally, what Rizpah was doing reached the ears of King David. David said, "That's not right. That ought not to be." He said, "Strike that law from the books about taking them down and burying them." And that's the law that was utilized when our Lord Jesus Christ was taken down from the cross of Calvary by Joseph and Nicodemus, and was buried. If David had not passed that law, then the body of Jesus would have had to have hanged there on that cross until his bones fell to the ground at its feet. David was going to make things right. He went out and he took the bones of King Saul and the bones of Jonathan, who was Saul's son that had been killed at Jabesh-Gilead. And He took these skeletal bones of these seven sons that had been hanged by the Gibeonites, and he buried them all together in Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish, who was the father of Saul. And after that, God was entreated for the land, which was still in famine mode. God heard, and the famine ended. Now, if you'd gone to Rizpah during those 5 months and asked her, "Why are you here on this hill of Gibeah today?" she would have answered you and said, "Because a mother loves." Because a mother loves. I say again that the greatest power on earth, besides the love of God, is the love of a mother for her offspring. Sin is powerful. If you're not careful, it can rob you of your peace and your joy and your happiness. But love overcomes all things. And the picture of this little mother kneeling alone in the midst of these seven crosses on the hill of Gibeah is a beautiful picture of love that should touch and stir every human heart. If you were to go to Calvary and ask Mary, the mother of Jesus, "Why are you here?" she would answer you, "Because a mother loves." If you were to ask Jesus why he was on the cross, his answer would be, "Because a father loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world, he spared not his own Son, but gave him for us all. We have a song that we sing, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary." Jesus paid the price for our sin and made atonement with the Father. There on that cross, his first words were, "Father, forgive them." In his grace, he offers forgiveness. Jesus paid the price for our sins, made atonement. And I would ask you today to let the love of God captivate your thoughts and bring you into silent submission to that precious fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You remember what Isaiah said? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Yes, sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for love. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your great love toward us, that sacrificial love that caused you to substitute yourself for us. It should have been us on the cross instead of you. We were the ones that deserved to die, not you. But because you loved us, you died for us on that old rugged cross of Calvary. And if there's a soul under the sound of my voice today that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. If there's one today who has never surrendered their life and their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that today they will open their heart's door, as it were, and let Jesus come in and give them salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of all of their sins that only you can do. So, Father, today we commit this service to you. Let the love that we studied about here, about Rizpah, come from every one of our hearts and be directed to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 282.
Will you come this morning? There may be someone here today that needs Jesus. Will you come?
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that'll be!
Joy and privilege it is to have you here today. I enjoy your presence. God is with us when we meet together, and it's been a wonderful day. I love sharing the Word of God with you. Come back again at 6 o'clock this evening, and Brother Bryant will be preaching for us. You'll get a blessing out of that service too, I'm sure. I hope that each and every one of you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and we are especially thankful today for every mother that graces our congregation. God bless you for coming. As we're dismissed in prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Sam Burton to lead us in our benediction, please.
Dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.